This is Retro Sports Radio. Visit RetroSeasons.com for more sports history.
Well, here he is again, folks. Dizzy Dean, brought to you by the makers of Johnson's Wax for Carnu, the wax-fortified auto polish that cleans and polishes your car in one easy application.
Howdy, folks. Frank, how about you and me talking a little bit about Stan Musial, the star hitter of the Cardinals, Ted Williams, a slugging hero of the Boston Red Sox, and their respectable batting averages.
All right, Diz. Friends, this is Frank Eschen, very happy to collaborate with Jerome Herman Dizzy Dean in a discussion of two great hitters. But, Dizzy, you mean Musial and Williams and their respective averages, I dare say.
Go ahead and dare say all you want, Frank, but I'd like to ask you a question before you start dare saying any more.
Shoot, Jerome, always eager to cooperate.
Well, Frank, the last time I looked, Musial was hitting 376 and Williams was hitting 365. Frank, don't you think them as respectable averages?
Touché, Jerome, touché. Yes, I'll admit you were right the first time. Those are very respectable averages, and I'll go even a little further along the Dizzy Dean rhetorical highway. I'd say that those two batters have hit for a lot of respectable bases. But what was the other point besides your sinister desire to catch me in a grammatical trap?
I was going to say, Frank, that I guess most folks will admit that Williams and Musial is about as good a pair of natural hitters that has come along in a long time. They both got off to a great start, but they won't finish with that 400 average the baseball writers and radio commentators was talking about early in the season.
A difficult objective to achieve, Jerome.
It's more than that, Frank. It's just doggone tough to hit 400. At one time, they was both over 400, as I remember, and it was really something to try to keep up that pace. And any time they'd get only two out of five, which is hitting 400 for the day, they'd drop a point or two. And that meant that in order to keep pace, or maybe gain a little, they'd have to get two for four, which is 500, or three for five, which is 600. The point I want to make, Frank, is that anybody who ever hits 400 in the major leagues really has something to be proud of.
And so, to take a leaf from your book, Diz, anybody who's hitting 376 or 365 can feel comfortable in having a respectable batting average. Now, Diz, we come to the mailbag department. We have two letters today. Mr. William Shambaugh of Cincinnati writes about pitchers. He notes that so many of them are unable to hurl many complete games, wilting after only four or five innings. And he recalls Rube Waddell, who rarely reported at the park except on days when he was due to pitch. And almost without exception, Rube was able to finish what he started. Mr. Shambaugh suggests that it might be a good idea to give pitchers a couple of days off, Diz, so they'd have the necessary rest, and perhaps they'd be able to pitch more complete games.
Frank, that idea probably will make a bit big hit with the pitchers. Boy, that would be fine, to have a couple of days off to go fishing or something, without having to worry about the ballpark. But I think the manager would raise a big kick about that. You see, Frank, there's the matter of staying in condition. A pitcher has to run a lot. He ain't going to keep his legs in shape sitting on a riverbank with a fishing pole in his hand.
And here's another thing, Diz. Doesn't the average manager like to have his better pitchers available for an occasional relief job?
Right you are, Frank. The year me and Paul won 50 games between us, I reckon we saved maybe a dozen more, helping out now and then with an inning or two to stop a rally or protect a small lead. Then I used to break in now and then as a pinch runner or a pinch batter myself.
Yes, you were an asset of great versatility, Diz.
It wasn't so much that, Frank. I could get a hold of that old ball once in a while. Boy, I love to hit. I'll never forget one game when I went to hit for somebody. The other club had walked Bill DeLancey, a good left-hand batter, to get at the pitcher. And Frankie Frisch calls old Diz from the bullpen. He tells me the bases is loaded, but we're three runs behind. Funny how managers always tell those things, when for pity's sakes I was watching as close as old Frankie was. Anyhow, he told me to try to get on. Well, the count gets to three balls and nothing, and I don't look at third base at all. I know what the sign is, though. I could see out of the corner of my eye that Mike Gonzalez was giving the take sign. But I knew the pitcher was in the hole. He knew the take sign was on. I knew he grew one for old Diz, trying to get back somewhere even on the count. Sure enough, he grooves one, a nice, fat fastball. And, Frank, I couldn't hold back. I let her have it and pounded that old ball clear into the left field seats. As I passed third base, Mike Gonzalez was having a fit. Dizzy, he says, you crazy. Why you swing at that ball? Don't you know the count? She is 3-0, and we was three runs behind? And I says, keep your shirt on, Mike. I know we was three runs behind. but we ain't no more.
What kind of a fit did Frisch have then, dear?
Oh, he just shook his head and called me some kind of a dumb lucky stilt.
Yes, but I dare say Frisch was glad you weren't taking a day off fishing that afternoon.
Yeah, Frank, see what I mean?
Yes, I think you win that one for Mr. Shambaugh, dears. And here's the other letter from the mailbag. Mr. Stuart Boggs of Philadelphia wants to know something about the importance of jockeys in baseball. And did the old gas house gang go in much for that sort of stuff? First of all, Diz, you might explain what a jockey is.
Glad to, Frank. In horse racing, a jockey rides a horse. In baseball, the jockey rides the other team. And while the baseball jockey don't use no spurs or no whip, he can sting you plenty. Yes, I guess the dugout jockey always has been and always will be a part of the game, Frank. And we used to break out in a little jockeying now and then in them good old gas house gang days. I'll tell you one time we really went to town, Frank, in the 1934 World Series.
Yes, I seem to recall there were some sharp harpoons thrown during that October Classic, Jerome. Remarks that were very, well, we might say ex-cathedra, with authority, that is.
No, we never let religion get into our jockeying, Frank. But we had a lot of fun with them Tigers. We called them pussycats all through the series. And we got a little help from the Tigers and the Detroit papers.
How is that? That sounds like treason.
Well, for one thing, Schoolboy Rowe did a little ad-libbing on the radio. He was on a program and his heart was full of honeymoon at that particular time. And in a pause, he spoke a few words to his bride. He says, "How am I doing, Edna?" And, brother, I bet he wished many a time he'd never said that. He sure was miserable out there, trying to pitch with Pat Crawford, our number one jockey, and all the others, asking out loud how he was doing Edna. Then the Detroit papers give us some material. Mickey Cochran was injured in some kind of a play, and of course, Detroit was all excited about that. One of the papers come out with a big headline, clear across the top of the first page, which with news of Cochran's injury. And there was a big picture of Mike, and under it, also in big type, it said, "Our stricken leader." Boy, we got mileage out of that one. Mickey didn't show his nose anywhere without some jockey starting a cheer for our stricken leader. Frank, it sure was a lot of fun pitching with that old gas house gang. And Frank, we got paid for it, too.
Yes, and here's something that you'll get paid for in the form of extra special Sunday satisfaction. Some advice, Dizzy, for those who like to get the utmost pleasure out of their cars. You know, man, if you're going to drive a bright, keen-looking automobile, one thing is certain. You've got to get rid of road film. You know, that sticky film made up of exhaust fumes, oil, bugs, and a lot of other things. Now, water can't touch that film, and so week after week it keeps collecting on your paint and chrome. Your car loses its sparkle so gradually that you may even forget how bright and shiny it used to look. Well, you can bring back that sparkle. You can bring it back in one easy application with Johnson's Wax Fortified Carnu. Johnson's Carnu contains five cleaning ingredients, that's why. Those ingredients cut right through that road film, carry it away, let the real finish of your car show through. And because Carnu is wax fortified, Carnu polishes your car, too. It gives the car finish the bright beauty it had the day it left the showroom. And remember, it's all done in one application. You just rub Carnu on, let it dry to a white powder, and wipe it off. Your car is cleaned and polished from bumper to bumper, from top to hubcaps. So before this weekend is over, drop in on your service station owner or other dealer and get some Carnu. C-A-R-N-U, Johnson's Carnu. Then just rub it on, wipe it off, and see that brilliant shine come back. That Sunday shine you may have thought was gone forever. Now, Diz, with that sound advice on its way, I agree with you that it must have been a lot of fun traveling with those colorful Cardinals.
That's what the baseball writers used to say, Frank. They didn't get much sleep, but there never was a dull moment. Pepper Martin and Rip Collins had a fancy Dan Pepper game they'd put on during practice. It always wowed the crowd. But don't forget, there was a lot of baseball in that club, Frank. Terry Moore, Leo DeRocher, Joe Medrick, Rip Collins, and Frankie Frisch.
And it was all good-natured fun, too, Diz. I mean, the boys always were in shape to play a lot of baseball.
You said it, Frank. Baseball was them boys' life. That's all they thought about, outside of having a little fun. But I know what you mean. There was no playboys on that ball club. A playboy just couldn't stay long on that club.
And that sounds like a story, Diz.
I won't say what year this was or what club it was, Frank, because it's a true story and I don't want nobody to know exactly who I'm talking about. But there was one pitcher who liked to stay up kind of late. He didn't know how to take care of his money either. And the manager, knowing this pitcher had a family back home, arranged with the front office to send the pitcher's paycheck to his wife. so the family would be sure to have some money. You see, this pitcher was liable to give it all away. He was so big-hearted when he got on the evening merry-go-round. Well, late in the season, there was an important ball game coming up the next day. Maybe the pennant would hang on it. And this pitcher I'm telling you about really could throw that ball when he was right. So the manager tells him he's going to pitch that important game the next day, and would he please get home early that night so he'd be in shape. It didn't do no good, though. The pitcher got on the merry-go-round just the same that evening and didn't get home till the sun was up. You could see when he checked in at the ballpark that he hadn't been taking care of himself. The manager catches on right away, and he's madder than a wet hen. He said to the pitcher, Joe, that was his pitcher's name, wasn't the pitcher's name, Frank. I'm just using a pone d'etat. I just call him Joe. Anyhow, the manager says, Joe, I asked you to take care of yourself so you could pitch this important game. And just look at you. But in shape or not, I said you were going to pitch, and doggone you, you are going to pitch. And the pitcher cracks back, I'll be doggone if I pitch, Mac. You send my paychecks to my wife. Let her pitch.
Well, now, Diz, it's your turn to pitch. Coach Dean, will you give out now with your weekly parcel of advice to young Americans to help them in their ambition to become big leaguers?
Yes, Frank, and maybe sometime we'll get some organized help from this idea out for the young ball players. I'm talking about the help young ball players can get from good coaching. Up to a certain stage, boys can go along on their own. They can learn to hit by practice. They can learn to catch flies and handle grounders the same way. But when they get a little older and are thinking about getting a tryout in a year or two, it's time to polish up their baseball. In other words, there's a right and a wrong way to do many important things in baseball. That's where it would help if the boys could arrange to have some expert coaching. In almost every city in the country, there are a few old ball players retired, but still interested in the game. Why not try to find such an old ball player in your town or neighborhood? I'll bet he'd be tickled to death to have you call on him and ask if he wouldn't give you a couple of hours of his time each week. He can show you how to tag runners. He can show the first baseman how to shift. He can show the shortstop and second baseman how to work double plays. You've got to know how to do them things right. And it wouldn't take much work to put a little sliding pit and have some old-time ball players learn you how to slide properly. Many a game in the big leagues is won by a hook slide or a quick double play. Baseball now has a fine pension plan. Old ball players can retire with some security. And my idea is to have baseball do something about this. And I am talking right now to Mr. Ford Frick and Mr. Will Harris, the two big league presidents. Why not include some kind of a coaching project in that there pension plan, Mr. Frick and Mr. Harris? It'll give the old players something to do in the game they like so well. And it will do an awful lot for the kids. And it will help to develop more and better ball players to make the big leagues bigger and better.
Say, those are words of profound wisdom, Coach Dean. And now if you'll grab that crystal ball, you are now Dizzy Dean, the reporter. How about the big league setup, Diz, as you see it entering the head of the stretch? And what's going to be the deciding factor in the two races?
Pitching as I see it, Frank. For instance, the Yankees have been doing all right lately. Frank Shea, who was off form early in the year, seems to be okay now. That added help down the stretch could give the Yankees a big advantage. And in the National League, George Munger could make a big difference for the Cardinals. The Braves need some help for Spahn and Sane. Two men can carry the load for a while, but they get tired. If either should crack, it would be too bad for the Braves.
Diz, do you think that the schedule favors any particular club?
Well, most people think it does, Frank. For instance, the Yankees and Red Sox will close the season playing each other. The strength of the league is in the East. Some believe it gives Cleveland an edge down the stretch. In the National League, the Cardinals will have the tough Cubs and Pirates to play in the last few days. But the Dodgers and Braves play a late September series. The way I see it, Frank, you've got to win those games down the stretch. And the second division clubs may be tougher than the ones up near the top.
Well, folks, we hope you'll be right back with us at this same time next week to listen to Dizzy Dean. He's brought to you by Johnson's Car New, the wax-fortified auto polish that cleans and polishes your car in one easy application. Car New cleans when you rub it on, loosens road film, and carries it right off your car. Then Car New polishes when you wipe it off, makes your car sparkle almost like new. Ask for Johnson's Car New today. Save time, save work, while making your car as bright as a dollar. Remember to give your car that Sunday shine, rub it on, wipe it off, is all you do with Cardew.
And this is Old Diz. Hope all you folks are on the stand this time next Saturday. I'll be pitching across again for Johnson's Car News.
This is Frank Eschen saying goodbye until next Saturday for the makers of Johnson's Wax Fortified Auto Polish Car News. This program came to you from KSD St. Louis. This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.
WMAQ, NBC in Chicago.